Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's high noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, Patriots Monday, Victory Monday. For the sixth consecutive Monday here on WEEI, you can dial us up 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and the text line as well. Interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along live from Gillette today. Beautiful backdrop at Gillette Stadium. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. And yesterday, Keefe, it does feel like in a lot of ways the Pats are back. I've said this a few different times today. You nitpick a win,
yeah,
which I don't think we've done much of this year. Like even the Dolphins win way back in week two, and we didn't know what the team was going to be. We didn't know they'd be sitting here 7-2, knocking on the door to maybe be the top seed in the AFC. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Chad
Kraft.
Graf,
yep.
At The Athletic. Has the Athletic's NFL playoff predictor, which is different than the Jones and Keefe playoff predictor.
I wouldn't even use it.
Some say not as accurate.
Correct.
They have the Pats up to 97% chance to make the playoffs. That is the highest of any NFL team, not AFC team.
That's amazing.
Any team in the league, higher than the Bills at 95%, higher than the Eagles at 94%. So even way back when in week two, I feel like we didn't nitpick a win all that much over the Dolphins because it's like, hey, they won. How many of these have there been the last couple of years? Yesterday, I'll take all day long.
Oh, sure.
Especially with the Colts losing and the Chiefs losing and the Broncos struggling. I'll take it all day long. But there are things you want to see them clean up quickly because they do have one of their few difficult, challenging opponents on the schedule this Sunday in Tampa.
Well, not only that, you're starting to think bigger for this team. You know, going into the year, making the playoffs was a huge win, right? Like if they are a successful season, if they just make the playoffs. But then when you see how well they're playing and the landscape of the AFC, now you kind of want to get greedy. So them simply just beating the bad teams the rest of the way and losing to the good teams, going 10-7 and losing in the first round, that would feel kind of disappointing now because they have raised the bar on how well they've played.
It's fair to move our expectations on that, right?
100%. Because like you're watching just, what's in front of you.
Oh, if I told you in August
that
this team would be a 12-win team and in the playoffs, and even if they lost on wild card weekend, you'd be happy. Well, sure.
Because we're nothing if not consistent. And that's why we feel the same way about the trade deadline. We're talking about that. You feel differently about tomorrow because they're 7-2 and how they've played. And so yesterday was not one for style points.
Nope.
But it was a win. And I think here's the reason why we haven't. I mean, we've called out things, right? Like slow start by the defense, or you know, certain bad plays, by you know, whether they're missing kicks or whatever. But this is a pretty simple breakdown when you look at how the season has unfolded. They lose their first game to what turns out to be a terrible team. Like they lost their first game of the season to the Raiders, who have two wins.
Yeah.
So then the next week they go into Miami, which was always a tough place to play, even with Brady and Belichick. So they won in Miami. Then they lose to Pittsburgh and they turn it over a bunch. So at 1-2, we're like, oh, like maybe we were too high on the team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And too high specifically on Drake May.
But, and then, you know, without getting into like specifics of like slow starts and things, they then blow out Carolina, They beat Buffalo Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. Now, maybe you could say I'm putting too much stock in that win, because once you beat Buffalo in Buffalo, I'm like, all right, you've kind of proven to me that you're a good team. And then we always said, well, could they trip up? Could they have a letdown because it's an emotional game? Nope, they go on the road, they beat New Orleans, they go on the road, beat Tennessee. No Patriots team ever has won three straight regular season games that were played on the road.
Right.
So that's another thing that nobody else has done. Then you have a good defense in Cleveland. You beat them. You know, big second half, and that game isn't even close. And then you have a close game. All right, you don't cover the spread, but you win the game. And, you know, you got out to a good start this time around. Atlanta comes clawing back, but you find a way to win. So a six-game winning streak for a team that, you know, we were high on them, but, like, the over-under for them was, like, eight and a half games.
Yep.
So to win six in a row is pretty impressive. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't expect them to win every game by, you know, 20 points. That's not realistic.
You also, going back through those wins, reminded me, and I'd forgotten about this till just now, and again, it's fair to revise expectations and change expectations, but coming out of that Buffalo win, Keith, we looked at the next four, and we said, at New Orleans, at Tennessee, home against Cleveland, home against Atlanta.
3-1.
We'd be happy with 3-1. We'd be ecstatic at sweeping that stretch. I'd be frustrated and disappointed if they went 2-2. But we said, all right, give them one hiccup. Give them one game where they stubbed their toe. And they didn't even do that.
No, and Atlanta's such a hard team to figure out because they beat Buffalo and they lost to Miami. So depending on when you watched Atlanta, you're like, that's a tough test. It's not a good test.
Right.
Somewhere in between. And then it ended up being kind of that. You know, for almost two quarters, they looked like the team that lost to Miami. And then for another quarter and a half, they kind of looked like the team that beat Buffalo. So they're just a strange team. But you won it. There's been no let-up this entire time. And now, like, I can't wait to see Tampa Bay. We had sort of circled Tampa Bay after the Buffalo game, being like, all right, the next game. And that was when Baker Mayfield was in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he was our pick at the time to be the league's MVP. That's changed a little
bit. Well, he's had two bad games and then a bye week. So he hasn't looked great. He's kind of fallen off. But that's still a good team. Because if you're looking at it right now, they have played against – everybody, you know, clowns their schedule – nine games so far, they have played, what, two teams that are currently in the playoffs, right? Pittsburgh and Buffalo.
Oh, right. Not even Carolina. Carolina's a winning record.
Carolina's not in there.
Playoffs, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're like, okay, you know, I don't know how many teams have like a million strength of schedule wins where you're like, they're playing in the SEC.
And
it's like, they're bad teams all over the place.
One of them is Pittsburgh, and we don't even like them.
No, right.
Like Pittsburgh,
right.
They beat the Pats, they beat the Colts, and we're like,
good point.
Stink.
Yeah.
So,
good point.
Yeah, you can only play the schedule that's in front of you. And I don't ignore the schedule. They have an easy schedule.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're about to hear Vrabel push back on Chris Curtis again. We didn't really get a chance to flesh it out because we were joined by Hunter Henry and Craig Woodson in the first hour.
Oh, the eraser.
If you missed any of that, yes. It's on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Use the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to those interviews. But I don't apologize for their schedule, but I also acknowledge schedule's been pretty easy, and they've been fortunate with who they've played. That does change this weekend, although I just looked at the line just to double check it. They're only 2.5-point underdogs at Tampa, which I guess I would have expected that to be more, especially with the Bucs coming off the bye. So that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
But here's that exchange again. We played it for you once. We didn't really get a chance to react. Let's hear from Mike Vrabel again this morning with Greg. He joins the Greg Hill Show every Monday. And, well, he doesn't like the questions about the schedule, or I guess the eye roll at the Patriots schedule, the smirking at their schedule. So here's that exchange.
The national conversation is that the team's 7-2, but the schedule's been a joke. And how do you balance, obviously, a young team, six straight wins, you're at the top of the division, playing great. How do you balance sort of keeping them in check, but also letting them know that anything is possible the rest of this way?
Be the same every day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, You want me to comment on the schedule, or you want me to comment on my message to the team? What are you trying to do? You're working a lot into there. I mean, is that the national perspective, or is that your
– is this
I can only coach one team at a time. I don't make the schedule.
Yeah.
Every team beats every – you know what I mean? Like, that's just – that's mind-boggling to me in the National Football League, that there be strength of schedule. You got a salary cap. Everybody spends the same amount of money. You guys know in this league that doesn't really mean anything. I love your little smirk over there. You know, like, you come up with this question and you want to ask me about the strength of schedule and my message. My message has been the same every week.
Okay. So Vrabel.
Well, first of all, I love it.
Not appreciate
no.
it. Well, I look, that's
Vrabel v. Curtis. I'll take Vrabel every time.
It's true.
Yeah, and you can hear over there.
And you can hear Patriots fans everywhere pumping at their radio when he's slapping around Curtis there. But I don't know. I don't agree with him when he talks about the schedule and how everybody has to play everybody.
But there's a different thing. So if you're a head coach of a football team, you need to treat each week like they all count the same, because they do. So like the Raiders game, the Bills game, like they're all the same. But from us, from the outside, it's more than fair to be like, that team's 1-8.
Yeah.
That team stinks.
If Vrabel wants to slap people around and send a message to his team, that's fine. He should do that. He wants to keep them focused and feeling good about all these wins. And honestly, I think part of the reason he did that to Chris is maybe he's just annoyed at the questions week after week. But also, I think his team is struggling with that yesterday. Listen to Drake May. We're going to play you some of Drake May coming up later on this hour. May specifically, I think, is struggling with feeling good about a win where he didn't play well and the team didn't play as well as they have been going into it. And I think he's a little worried about the team psyche on that. So I think this is a message to the team. Like, guys, don't apologize for it.
Yeah.
He said the same thing in the locker room to them. But I also think, look, they've been fortunate with the schedule they've had. And so I understand what he's trying to do.
Right.
The schedule we knew was going to be easy when it came out. But part of why they're here is that schedule. I mean, I wouldn't ignore that.
But that's what happens when you finish last place 1 year. You get a last place schedule. The league wants parity. So, you know, 2 years ago, they weren't able to capitalize off of another last place schedule.
Definitely true.
And then even still, the expectation was, I mean, what, 8.5 wins was the over-under? They're already at 7, 9 weeks into the season. So even with the schedule, which everybody knew what it was, they've overachieved from that point. But no, Vrabel, I think, was the New Orleans game? Might have been the first one where he was like, because it was coming after the Buffalo game.
Yeah, probably.
And New Orleans stinks. Like, New Orleans is whatever they are, 1-8. But he's like, a win in the, like, be excited about a win. Because I don't think the team was very excited after that one. But it was like, you guys should be. So he's been consistent with that, and I agree with him. But like, both things can be true. Vrabel can say, guys, it's the NFL. It's not college football. Like, 1 week you're playing App State, 1 week you're playing Alabama.
Well, and it's not fair to say they've beaten no one. And I do hear a lot of that.
There's also that, right?
Like, they've beaten Buffalo. You know,
you got to beat them twice, though, according to Cam Newton.
Carolina is probably better than we gave them credit for at the time. So it's not that they've beaten nobody, but it has been an easy schedule. And the good news for them is we're going to see it play out. You beat Tampa, you can shut everybody up about your schedule. You beat Buffalo a second time, you could shut up Cam Newton specifically. Yeah. Same thing with Baltimore. So you have opportunities to do it, not a lot of them. And if they lose all these games, they'll be a 12-win team, and a lot of people will be asking questions about their schedule.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't think it's unfair to point out they've had a nice run with it. And even still, Keith, forget the offseason. Go back a month ago. I didn't think they'd sweep these four games. I thought they'd trip up against maybe Atlanta, maybe New Orleans at the Superdome, and they didn't do that. So full credit there. I will quibble with one thing. There is a salary cap in the NFL. Not everybody spends the same way. I would point that out to Mike Vrabel. I don't think that's what he meant.
I agree.
But that's how it came across. Not everybody spends the exact same
way. No, I would say Detroit's roster might be a little bit different than Tennessee's roster right now, based on the money spent.
Fair. Steph Diggs, by the way, after the game, was asked about Drake May's day and, a couple of the turnovers that he had yesterday. I like this answer from Steph Diggs.
Chin up, chest out. I'm saying that happens. Like, receivers aren't perfect. We're not always open. We're not always doing the right stuff. Damn, it sounds like a little echo. But to be able to go out there and will to a win, I'll take that any day. And I'm riding with Drake May. Like, things aren't going to be a perfect. I tell you all the time, it's hard to play quarterback. I probably couldn't do it. I'd be a scramble guy. But to see him play well, and mishaps are going to happen, stuff happens, protect the guy with the ball and continue to have his back. Like, that positive reinforcement, that positive encouragement, I think means a lot for a quarterback. Like, guys let you know, like, we got his back regardless. I don't care how it goes.
Got his back.
What a great answer.
Riding with Drake May.
I think he's like, I probably couldn't play quarterback. And if I did, it'd be a scramble guy.
I probably couldn't.
His touchdown, by the way.
Oh, the cut was
awesome. Like, that was an awesome play.
That's probably the best cut he's had since the first catch in that Buffalo game.
Yeah, he had a couple plays. The first catch, and then there's another one later in the Buffalo game where he just looked quicker than he had all year. And then, this was another one where you're like, oh, that's just like a good pickup. And then he turned it into a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, all right, they didn't have guys that could do that the last few years. So that was great. But no, it's also a good answer, you know, and then he's just sort of talking up his quarterback, which that has been consistent for the last two straight months.
By the way, his quarterback, Drake May, will be on WEEI afternoons. He joins him every Patriots Monday. He's going to be on right after 2 o'clock, scheduled for 2:05 today.
All right.
with WEEI Afternoons. Keep it locked here on a Patriots Monday for that. How concerned should we be about Drake May's turnovers? Like, I for instance, would be more concerned about the fumbles, plural. He only lost one yesterday. But the one right before half, a bad one, that pretty much kept Atlanta in the game. First play of the second half, he fumbled again, just loose with the football, going to the ground, just lost it. No one knocked it out or anything. He had the interception that led to a Falcons field goal in the second half as well. Should we be concerned about that? And how do you square it away with a day where he maybe didn't look as good as he has the last few weeks, where he's played out of his mind, but he still had another game with 200-plus yards, 100-plus quarterback rating, and they won?
I found myself, even after the game, like checking the QB rating. I'm like, did he keep that alive? Because, like, I don't know what the formula is.
It's some convoluted thing. But let me double-check their math.
Look how he did. Because, like, it wasn't a great game, but he still hit that metric, which is impressive. No, I think the fumbles are a little bit more concerning than the interceptions, because that was his fourth interception all season. So if you, like, project the rest of the year, he's on pace for a 32-touchdown, 8-interception season.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Oh, my God.
I'd sign off on that.
Preseason, I was like, 20-10 might be okay. So he only has 4 picks so far, so I'm less worried about that. But just last year, him fumbling was an issue. Didn't lose every single fumble, but, like, the ball was on the ground a lot. And for a guy that I think is really effective when he runs, and we want him to run more, I just think if you're putting the ball on the ground, then – That's a concern. That he needs to clean up.
I asked you this earlier. Reese had an item on this last night. He said, how much of a concern is the growing number of hits on quarterback Drake May? He's taken 5-plus sacks in back-to-back games. The only other Patriots quarterbacks who have done that since 2000, Jacoby Brissett last year, where he got the crap kicked out of him in the first 4 or 5 games, and then Drew Bledsoe back in 2000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how concerned should we be about that, A? And B, do you think that's what's leading to the turnovers, or were the hits separate from some of his turnover issues yesterday?
Yeah, I think they might be a little bit different. You know, I just feel like he's taken so many sacks this year. Like, for a guy who's playing as well as he is, and he's been as effective, he's super efficient and all of that, he's only behind Cam Ward, a quarterback getting sacked the most, 34 times. Now, they talked about that a little bit this morning, too, and Mike Vrabel was talking about, you know, whether it's the O-line or the quarterback. He's like, I'm not going to go through each one for you, but you can kind of tell. You know, if you take like an 8-yard loss and, you know, guys are just right back in his face, or is he trying to get a play going, can't get a play going, then rather than throwing it away, he takes, like, a 1-yard loss. So it goes in the books as a sack.
Right.
But he might have even ran out of bounds. Like, it might not even be a big hit that he took. It just goes as a sack. But that it still goes as a negative play. So I think that he just needs to sort of kind of clean up a little bit. I think it's less the hits that he's fumbling than just maybe a little loose with the ball.
And they were on him quick on the fumble at the end of the half yesterday that led to London's second touchdown, which again kept the Falcons in a 1-score game. You could have been up at least 21-7, could have been 24-7 with the ball to start the second half, and instead they get in the end zone. I guess good news, bad news on the sacks yesterday. Most of it didn't feel like it was coming from the Campbell-Wilson side of the formation. Not to say they had perfect days by any means. That'd be the good news, I guess. Will Campbell, after a rough go last week against Myles Garrett, much better showing. He actually tracked down James Pierce to prevent a touchdown. Falcons ended up scoring anyway.
Yeah, that was a good play, though.
Great individual hustle play, good effort play. I heard Vrabel talking about this after the game, where he's like, look, that they scored anyway. I guess it didn't matter.
No, but
he's like, the more you have plays like that, it is going to go our way in the future. So he was applauding the hustle. Onwenu had a rough day yesterday, though. Like, he was the guy who got beat on that sack. He got beat later in the game as well. And that's supposed to be, at least coming into the year, we thought, your best, most consistent offensive lineman, and he really hasn't been.
Yeah, no, they've been a huge improvement from a year ago, but I don't know. I think Drake May's made those guys look pretty good, right? Like I think the success that they've had, Drake May has been a big factor, which was always the case when you have good quarterback play anyway. Like, there would be years where
the back-to-back 5-sack games, you notice Brady's not on there.
Not on there at all.
He's getting the football.
And he certainly had some bad O-lines, but, like, he just wasn't going to let that happen. And so I think for the most part, Drake May is good. That does seem to be, like, one last thing in his game, right? It's just sort of, like, knowing when to either get rid of the ball or something, just to not take as many negative plays.
617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch on a Patriots Monday, live from Gillette Stadium here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to Pop Douglas and the Patriots wide receiver room coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Mike Vrabel, and we started talking about this in the first hour. We'll circle back to it. Caught on the CBS broadcast meeting with Drake May after that interception. He's pushing the right buttons.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We'll expand on that. Jones and Keith live at Gillette Stadium for a Patriots Monday. Pats win again. They're 7-2. They've won 6 in a row. Bit of a nail biter. I heard Billy putting it that way in trending. But a big one on Sunday in Tampa against the Bucs. For those complaining about the Patriots schedule, or for those who just want to see a real opponent, they're going to get one this weekend with the Bucs coming off the bye. I mentioned my feelings on that interception quickly, Keith, earlier. I didn't get your thoughts on it. Who do you think that pick is on? Because I saw online,
yeah,
a lot of people were putting that interception on Hunter Henry. Didn't get his head around. Miscommunication. Was that more on Henry or more on May?
I thought in real time it was May. I thought he just kind of overthrew it there. I thought it was like, you know, we've seen it last year way more than we've seen it this year. But when he ran into some problems sometimes, he would kind of just like let it rip over the middle and, you know, right to a safety. So I put it more on him than Hunter Henry.
Well, that's what I thought. And I was surprised at how many. And maybe this speaks to
– yeah.
May is getting into, like, protected status.
I mean, he's played so well. I mean, I guess I get it.
No,
yeah.
I mean, he's been unbelievable. I don't mean to nitpick at what happened yesterday, but I also, I don't know, I think any other quarterback in the league, I'd put that throw on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be looking for excuses on the receiver not getting his head around, so I'll put that on May as well. One of two turnovers yesterday, and if you were watching live during the broadcast, you saw CBS shortly after that cut over to the sideline.
Yep.
And Mike Vrabel comes and sits down with Drake May. May was asked about the message from Mike Vrabel after the interception. Here's what he had to say about that exchange last night.
Yeah, you know, he's great at coming up to me after, you know, really every drive. You know, he comes over and says something to me. You know, always positive, always want me to rally the guys around me, always you know, challenging me to, you know, battle adversity and get the guys going. And I think, you know, I just appreciate the way he coaches me. You know, he's hard on me, but he's you know, very positive, and I think he wants the best out of me. And you know, everything that he says to me, I think it's gone to be important and become true.
So I wouldn't even consider that hard coaching, Keith. I know he said he coaches me hard. I don't know if he meant like that exchange.
Maybe overall. Yeah. But yeah.
But I just consider that coaching. Like, yeah. Like we've kind of mocked, or I certainly have, Marco Sturm, where it's like, does that guy talk to anybody? Does he do anything? Like, what does he do?
It's working.
Like, that to me is an example of that. Like, I'm sure if Vrabel didn't go talk to Drake May, and I kicked up a stink about that like I have with Sturm, you could say, well, his assistants do this, and they're in charge of the power play, and they're in charge of the penalty kill, and it's Josh McDaniels who actually meets with Drake May. Like, I guess it could be that. Or you're the head coach, and May says he talks to him after almost every series. Like, we don't get to see everything that's going on the sidelines. They specifically showed that. But I don't even consider that hard coaching. I just consider that coaching, and good on Vrabel for doing that. Like, whatever he said. And they didn't give us much insight into what they said after the game, or even Mike Vrabel this morning with Greg. Like, they weren't going to get into it. But I think that's a good job by the head coach to come over and say, hey, like, we still have time. We're going to get into our five-minute offense. Like, we're still in a good spot. And I think that's what a good head coach should do.
Yeah, I kind of, like, it's, you know, I don't know if we should even give him credit for it. I feel like that's sort of, like, baseline stuff. Like, you know, maybe there are some coaches that wouldn't do that, then, like, you're questioning it. Like, yeah, maybe last year wouldn't happen.
I don't think the Bruins coach right now would do that.
And then, you know, sadly, the last year for Bill, I think he stopped talking to his quarterback entirely.
That's a good point.
So, no, it seems like an obvious thing that you should do, but he is doing that, and that's when you're like, all right, Mike Vrabel is a true, like, head coach of the entire team. He's not one of these, like, I'm just talking to the defense guys, or some of the coaches I like around the league, they might be accused of being, like, just talk to the offense guys. So we know Mike Vrabel's not calling the plays like Josh McDaniels is, but just, like, coaching the quarterback and turning him into, a real professional, getting him to know, like, situational awareness, although you could question the end of the first half there if that was a great thing. But
yeah, that was not the most situationally aware.
Teaching moment. Something that coaches like. And so, yeah, in that sense, I think Vrabel is doing a good job, and it's something that I did expect. Right, like, all right, he comes in, you're like, all right, he's had NFL head coaching experience, just been in the league for such a long time. So when Drake May has a bad turnover, he's not sitting on the bench being like, oh, man, I wonder what my coach's response is or what he's thinking. No, he comes right over and talks to you. That's how it should be. And so I think that's going to lead to more success down the road.
Yeah, and look, I just think the messaging there should be, and we got into his post-game messaging a lot. We'll play a clip coming up. But the messaging should be like, look, you're not going to be perfect. As much as you probably want to be perfect and the goal should be perfect, you're not going to be perfect. Like, you're going to throw interceptions. You're going to turn it over. It's going to happen. We're still in a good spot. And that, look, wasn't a great pick. Maybe some people put it on Hunter Henry. I'd agree with you. That's on May. Wasn't a good pick. Falcons go in. They get a field goal. They're down a touchdown. And you got to run the clock out. And they had two opportunities to do this after the Drake London touchdown, where they missed the extra point. We're up 24-23. They didn't put the Falcons away. They got the ball back. They punted with 3:43 left. Falcons punted it back to them, and then they ran out the clock under the two-minute warning with the third down conversion, 17 yards to Hunter Henry on a 3rd-and-5. So eventually they did that, but I like that Vrabel, is leaving no gray area, get that message delivered, and I don't think, as you said, I don't think it's hard coaching. I think that's coaching, and maybe that is a baseline thing we should expect. But I don't think we've seen that the last couple of years.
Well, no, and that's also, you got to start somewhere. And this is year one. You know, these two as a coach-quarterback combination has only been 9 games. And they're really, the way things have gone, there haven't been a lot of downtime. There hasn't been a lot of, like, bad games, right? Like, Drake May said way more good games than bad games. Even his bad games are better than a lot of quarterbacks' good games to this point.
Yes.
So, I mean, that you got to find the moments to go out there and really do the coaching. Because you mentioned it, that last... Well, I guess second-to-last possession that they had in real time was pretty frustrating.
Oh, they went 3 and out? Is that missed or Kyle Williams just doesn't run the right route? That's where he threw it to Kyle Williams on second down, right?
Yeah, and so they start the drive with – or the possession. It was not a drive at all. They start the possession with a 4-yard run. You're like, okay, you can bleed some clock or make Atlanta think about timeouts or whatever. And then they go incomplete pass to Kyle Williams, incomplete pass to Trayvon Henderson, and you give the ball back. You took a minute off the clock.
Well, that's true, too. With the incompletions, you didn't even bleed any clock.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it wasn't just a 3 and out where you at least ate up some time.
Yeah.
They didn't even eat up time. No, yeah, that's
no time, no timeouts. And you're like, oh. And then at that point, you're like, well, we just saw the Falcons have their best drive of the entire game, 12 plays, 85 yards in 5 minutes. So now they have that fresh on your head. They get the ball back within a minute, and you're like, all they need is a field goal. So then, like, racing through my head is Parker Romo, this is sports, right? Like, misses the extra point, but I'm like, he's going to have a chance to hit the game winner. Like, all they needed to do, like, if they move down the field, even if it's a long field goal, like, what a story that would be if he even just had a chance.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. Yeah,
no.
Didn't happen at all.
I didn't have a high degree.
Because they simulated the snap count.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They cheated and stole the snap count.
Yeah.
That's true. So, no, I didn't have a high degree of faith in him hitting a kick, but I get your point.
But like,
it would have been a nice,
yeah,
nice bookend closure.
And I know they had a long way to go, right? They had the ball and whatever it was, like the 19-yard line, and you're like, all right, like let's see what this does. Also, because we're nitpicking,
yeah,
what we're doing.
Yeah, nitpick away.
The drive that ended up being the last touchdown drive of the Falcons.
Yep.
This is gonna be a bizarre nitpick. They punted the ball. They were at the Atlanta, whatever it was, 47.
Yeah.
And Behringer punts it.
To like the 15.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly where
you're
talking.
In real time, I'm like, that's the best? Like, it'll go down as like an inside the 20 or whatever, but you're like, it was just like
a
fielding
really
15-yard line. I'm like, oh, I really could have used something better there.
Well, he's a six-round pick. That's why they can't trade away these six-round picks at the trade deadline.
That's true.
Like Bryce Behringer.
You got a guy like that.
617-779-7937. I mentioned the messaging from Vrabel. He was asked about this after the game, you know, like his players, and you could hear it with Drake May. Like you could really hear it from May wrestling with this after the game. We played you a few of those clips throughout. Vrabel was asked about his messaging to the team after a win, an ugly win, over the Falcons. Here's what he had to say about that.
Mike, I know in New Orleans your message to the team was, hey, you got to enjoy winning. What was the message now knowing you guys won despite not playing your best?
And just get ready to go on the road, you know. Understand that that's how it goes in this league sometimes. It's tough. But embrace, don't let anybody take the joy of what we do. You know, joy is authentic. Joy comes from these guys caring about each other, being happy. For the guy next to him that, you know, made a play, joy is about what we do in here. And I think that they need to embrace that and be thankful for what they get to do and what I get to do. And, you know, we talked about when you get – sometimes you get this taken away from you, you know, whether you're a player and you get cut or you're a coach and you get fired and you get another opportunity. You know, you want to try to make the most of it and enjoy it.
So I thought it was interesting he went there.
Yeah.
Even
for himself.
Right. Whether you're a coach, we all know who he's talking about. Whether you're a coach, you get fired and you get another chance.
Well, even like, McDaniels.
Appreciation there. Good point.
I mean, McDaniels and he both are the same way.
Good point. Actually, the way he talks about Josh, he might even had a blind spot.
Thomas Brown?
Yeah.
Put him on the list. They've had a lot of guys that were somewhere and are now here.
So I thought it was interesting that's where he took it. But the fact he continues to deliver that message. And, you know, Vrabel was on these great Patriots teams in 03 and 04. They didn't blow everybody out every single week. They did have some of these, and it feels that way looking back on it. But
you
go back and you look at some of these games where they won ugly and it was low scoring, or maybe they were holding on. You do have to win that way sometimes in the league. You don't apologize for it. We might nitpick it on the media side, but those guys shouldn't apologize for it, and they should be joyful that they've won six in a row. And I think Vrabel's pretty consistent in his messaging. I said this earlier in the show. We get the look inside the locker room every week. And you constantly see, this is what he says to the team. And then he addresses the media at the podium, and he says the same thing there. And then he comes on with Greg on Monday mornings. It's the same thing there. You made the point. You hear a lot of his players echoing the same thing after that.
Yeah, so it's like, a clear message.
The messaging is very clear and consistent. And I think this is another aspect of that. They're not apologizing for wins. And I think he's trying to remind them of that. Like, hey, guys, you won four games each of the last 2 years. You won eight combined.
Yeah.
And now you've already won seven this year. Don't apologize for that.
Oh, the last couple of years, if they played bad, they lost. If they played well, it was a coin flip.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if they had a good game, it's like, well, you didn't have enough. Like, whatever it was, like, personnel, talent-wise, like, you still weren't able to win. And now, you know, they've really had a couple games where, like, they didn't play their best, but they still were able to win, which is, like, that's usually the style. Like those are the playoff teams, right? Like if you look at it, the teams that win 10, 11 games, they don't play awesome 10, 11 times, right? Like it's just the way things go. Or maybe, you know, some of those games they play really great for a half and then they have like a really bad half or a really bad quarter or whatever it is. But
Tampa, the opponent this week, and this is a massive game. I don't mean to keep jumping ahead to Sunday and skipping past the win yesterday, but this is going to be a big game this week. Tampa's had a bunch of nail-biter games and games where they had to – we
the first three games, and they didn't play anybody good. They played Atlanta, Houston, and New York were all fourth-quarter game-winning drives by Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, they were giving up a late score to Penix in week one. So, yeah, we look at Tampa, and from the outside looking in, we go, oh, well, yeah, they've just executed. And Baker Mayfield has executed at the end of some of these games. Those haven't all been blowouts.
No.
And as you said, those haven't even been all of them against great opponents necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of teams do win this way in the league. And I think Vrabel's fighting with that. Mm-hmm. But you go out, you take care of business. I don't think anybody's going to care how they beat Tampa if they beat Tampa this
year. No, no.
I don't think anybody's
going
to care about style points in this one. 617-779-7937. Patriots Monday live from Gillette Stadium. It is Jones and Keith breaking down the Patriots' 24-23 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Six in a row. They're at 7-2 in a statistical tie at the top of the AFC. And a big factor in that, Pop Douglas, first career 100-yard game in what was a difficult 24 hours for the Patriots wide receiver. We'll get to
that. Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That next. I'll tell you what, I like the Steph Diggs firing up the boys every week.
Oh, it's great.
I like hearing it.
What's not to like?
Diggs, you mentioned this earlier, Keith, and a pretty quiet day from him yesterday again.
Yeah, that one touchdown, though, was, and put that in the season highlight tape.
Well,
the cut
was great. Yeah. And I said it was probably his best cut since the Buffalo game. You mentioned there were a couple of them in there. You knew he came to play that night. Excellent cut, which makes you think he's healthy, which then makes me in turn frustrated why they didn't use him a ton. I felt like late in the game, those last couple of drives in the quote-unquote five-minute offense where they needed two cracks at it.
Yeah, could have used him.
Vrabel keeps talking about it like they executed there and ran out 5 minutes. That's not what happened at all.
No.
They went three and out and ran no clock.
No, it's more the defense bailed you out.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think part of the issue is I feel like they're not going to Diggs in those spots.
I agree.
Like, there was a point in that Buffalo game, and he was playing out of his mind in that game. There was a point in that Buffalo game where I'm like, it's either a May scramble or you throw to Diggs. That's all that's acceptable for me in the offense. And yesterday, late in the game, I felt the same way. Going into those drives, I'm like, this needs to go to Diggs. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was going to Kyle Williams. I know you didn't have Kayshon Booty out there. The big
Henderson didn't even have a throw there at the end.
That's true. The big throw of the game, and Hunter Henry, who we talked to earlier today, in fairness, moved the chains all day. He had a bunch of good conversions on third down. So, like, credit to him and good play. I felt like more of that needed to run through Diggs late in the game, and I guess I was a little disappointed in that while we're nitpicking stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if the teams overcomplicate it or if we oversimplify it, but like watching it from Atlanta's perspective, it was like throw to Drake London every time.
Right.
You know, and then with the Patriots, like.
What did he have? You have 14 targets yesterday. I think it was 14.
It wasn't enough.
And it's like, honestly, it didn't feel like they threw at him enough. I agree.
Yeah, he was 9 catches on 14 targets.
And I think the other receivers only had like 3 targets or something crazy.
Yeah.
Like all of the receiver targets were to him except for 2 to Mooney and 1 to.
Yeah, Bijan had 10.
David,
but that's obviously
the fifth. Is that what that means?
Yeah, David Sills the fifth.
David Sills V?
I don't know. He's probably got a kingdom waiting for him somewhere.
So like,
but
all their wide receiver targets went to Drake London. Why weren't the Patriots doing that yesterday with Diggs, especially on a day where Booty got hurt?
Well, especially if you go back to that last, I guess second to last drive, you know, before you gave Atlanta the chance to have the ball back. They run the ball at first. You know, like, all right, I would have continued to run the ball and then force them to blow timeouts or eat 40 seconds at a rip.
Fine.
But they don't.
But they're throwing.
So, okay. So, if you want to throw, though, I'm trying to find Steph Diggs. I'm not trying to find Kyle Williams for the first time all game. And Kyle Williams, nobody really noticed this, but he played a lot because Tayshaun Booty went out.
You have the snaps.
Yeah, he played 31 snaps.
It was like 30-something snaps, exactly. Yeah.
And that was the one time he got targeted. It's like, well, it's a little late in the game to be going to a guy. Like, I mean, we were going back and forth whether or not, you know, Drake May and Pop Douglas are now very much on the same page, which it's trending towards that way. Kyle Williams is not there yet at all, and that's fine. You can't have great chemistry with every single receiver that you have. But that was a big spot in the game.
Well, he has no chemistry with Kyle Williams. I think it's,
nobody does.
I think it's spotty chemistry with Douglas.
Like, yeah, but this was a good game.
Yes.
I mean, this was a big step forward.
The wheel route for the touchdown was great. The McDaniels mafia was out after that drive. Like, my God, my Twitter timeline was like, Josh McDaniels in his bag.
Oh, speaking of McDaniels
like,
in his bag.
The McDaniels mafia hit after that.
Yeah.
I never heard him mention Josh McDaniels again after that opening drive. But my God, that was a great throw, and he had good chemistry with Pop on that play.
I was going to say, I give McDaniels credit for bringing Tonga out as the fullback.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
You like that?
I like that. Yeah, they used to do Richard Seymour back there, remember?
Right, yep. Vrabel was fired up about it. Vrabel liked it.
He did like it. But I think the whole team does. Like, that's something that's so simple, but, like, the team gets so fired up. Where they could have picked up that first down with Jack Westover blocking, and it's like, all right, good job, guys. But you get, like, Tonga out there to line up and just do the same thing? Like, I don't know. That's good. That's good for the team, I think.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, I was frustrated with that. And, you know, you lose Kayshawn Booty, who Vrabel, when he spoke to the media earlier, he circled back to Clapgate, as he dubbed it this morning with Greg.
Good luck. We'll play
you that extended clip coming up. But he answered questions about that. He also answered some questions about Kayshawn Booty. He said he's day-to-day, but it doesn't expect to see him early in the week, is how that was termed. So I would say Kayshawn Booty's status against Tampa this weekend sounds like at best it's up in the air. We'll monitor that all week. But the early returns on that, Vrabel's saying, yeah, he's day-to-day, and he won't be out there early in the week. So,
I mean, you talk about receiver for tomorrow. I mean,
I mean, in part, do they need a receiver at the deadline? And then who's going to step up? I'd be scared if it's Kyle Williams. I think it kind of has to be Pop Douglas.
Yeah.
Who did have a great day yesterday. And that's with what I felt were some miscommunications on deep, or not even miscommunications, just not quite on the same page, like May and Booty are dialed in down the field. Douglas had one 58-yarder catch and run. He also had the wheel route touchdown, 100 yards for the first time in his career. And what's staggering to me, Keith, is no one seemed to know what he was dealing with personally. I heard Vrabel say this today to Greg, and I was kind of surprised. Hunter Henry said the same thing. Pop Douglas, late last night or Saturday night, rather, or early Sunday, I forget which, lost his uncle. His uncle was shot and killed. And I guess this is someone who's pretty well known in the football community in Jacksonville. Terrell Jennings knew him as well. Mm. And so he was shot and killed going into the game. And this is Pop Douglas. The reporter, Cameron Wolf, didn't know about this. I'm not sure who knew this going into the game, but this is Pop Douglas, his walk-off interview with Cameron Wolf yesterday.
Pop, you started this game off with a boom, man. It felt like you didn't want to let anybody tackle you. What got into you today personally?
Man, yesterday my uncle got shot, killed last night. And boy, this whole morning, man, my mood was just different. You know, I couldn't hold my tears. I couldn't hold nothing. Every time somebody said, you know, keep your head up, man, my eyes kept watering up. And I just know he was here with me today. You know, first day, you know, in heaven, he was working. And, man, I'm blessed.
I like I like that answer. I don't mean to laugh, but I like that. First day in heaven.
He's working.
He's like, he's out there going to bat for me.
Man.
First career 100-yard game, and just imagine dealing with that. And I don't know how much he just wasn't sharing that with people or just people were unaware, but like if he's internalizing that on top of
incredible.
What he's dealing with, like, I mean, that really is incredible is the right word to come through in that spot.
Yeah, like Hunter Henry was on with us earlier. He didn't know. I mean, it's not something that you walk into the locker room and just like,
you're like, hey, guys, you here?
You can't. Right. You're not doing that. But then you're playing with that. There have been stories like that in sports where I think it's just so cathartic for the person to be able to not just sit home and think about it, but to go out and do what you love to do, have that on your mind. And, so, I mean, credit to Pop Douglas for going out there and having that kind of game.
And then Cameron Wolf, and I don't
– Yeah, he's like,
whoa. At all, but he's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, no.
He clearly had no idea.
No.
So, that's a tough spot to be in as an interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Pop Douglas is going to need to – if the Patriots don't make a move by the trade deadline tomorrow. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock tomorrow.
We have business Billy Lanny here today. We're going to have Billy Lanny at the trade desk tomorrow.
We're cleaning up the trade desk right now. There's a mess from the baseball deadline.
Good point. But we're going to have him all over it tomorrow if they don't make a move for a receiver.
Yeah.
And even still, even if they do and Booty can't play on Sunday, I can't imagine you're trading for a receiver and giving him a massive role in the game on Sunday. It's going to need to be more Pop Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes this weekend. But certainly a difficult 24 hours for him leading into that game yesterday. 617-779-7937. We've joked about this a couple of different times. How do you know the Patriots are back, Keith? Well, we're nitpicking wins the way we've been nitpicking it here today. The opposing kicker is going to miss extra points to give you a win. That's another way you know.
Yep, thank you.
And the opponent is whining after a Patriots win. That's how you know they're back. Let's get into that with more updates on what Mike Vrabel this morning dubbed Clapgate. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.